Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Another broadcast from the Breakthrough Broadcast. To God be
the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to thank all of our radio audience for tuning in on this Saturday to get a breakthrough from the Most High God. The Word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. So today we are here to lift up the great and the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be glorified. Yes, he is worthy to be exalted. So we want you to help us to exalt the name of Jesus. And all of you that are listening to our radio broadcast on today, you still have time. Why don't you just pick up that telephone, call a friend, call a neighbor, and tell them that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. And if they need a blessing, I'm truly sure that they can stand a blessing, that they need a blessing from the Lord, that they can receive what they need today. For the Word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be open. He said if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. The Word of God say, it shall be moved. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast our panelists for today. And they are Pastor Eric Hooper, Pastor Cynthia Fulton, Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Andre Spencer, Dr. and Pastor Harinder Dixon, Evangelist Jardine Spencer, and your host is yours truly, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Today we're going to be talking about humble and exalted, and our study text today will be Genesis, the 31st chapter, 1 through the 21st verse, and the 32nd chapter of Genesis, the 1st through that 32nd verse. And our key verse today will come from Matthew 20, the 23rd chapter, and the 12th verse. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That is coming from the King James Version. And from the NIV, it says, whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Listen, God is here to make his word plain, to give us the revelation that we need today, to give us all that will cause us to be pleasing in his sight. Our central truth, by the way, is God ordained that humility will precede exaltation. We have some subtopics that we're going to be speaking at our panels, so I'll be coming to you today. And they are as following: is homeward bound at God's command, humbled by fear and distress, Jacob appeared to meet Esau and confronted and exalted by God. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast again one of our panelists, which is Eric Hooper. We'd like to thank the Lord for him today. Pastor Hooper, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. God bless you. God bless you all, the panel, as well as the listeners on the radio line today. And we'll be coming from Genesis chapter 31, verses 3 through 7, and also verses 17 through 21. And the subtopic is Homeward Bound to God's Command. And we're going to begin reading in verse 3 in chapter 31. And it reads, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flocks, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. And God suffered him not to hurt me." Now we're going to go to verse 17. "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had got in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, and that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead." Amen. We're talking here about being homebound at God's command. And here we're talking about Jacob, how he had fled from his homeland with his mother and father. And when he had deceived his brother and stole his birthright, his mother gave him advice to go and to be with her brother, Laban. And the thing about it is, because he had reaped what he had sown. And as the main topic of the lesson today is humbled and exalted. That was in a sense where Jacob and his mother, they had gone in and they had deceived Esau by stealing the birthright. So what happened was, because of that, the repercussions of that, sometimes when you begin to covet or begin to exalt yourself, you'll begin to exalt yourself or to take something or to covet something that is not yours and actually it was in store for someone else. What happens, you don't know the ramifications of the repercussions of those things. You may think that certain things are just happening to you by happenstance, but sometimes it's because when we get into where we get out of God's will or we get into a place that we should not be, we don't understand the ramifications of those things that occur later on. And this is right here. This is just a result of what happened during that time with when he deceived his brother Esau of his birthright. And this was a sense of where he had exalted himself into taking his brother's birthright. At the same time, it turned around and God permitted him through his mother to go to Laban, and Laban ended up being one that was more of a trickster. He was more deceiving. He was more conniving. He was more cunning, and he had deceived him. And when Jacob had looked up, Jacob had ended up working 20 years for Laban. And sometimes God will permit you. Like you say, God doesn't make us do anything, but what happens, he gives us the free will. As he said in the book of Joshua, choose whom you shall serve this day. And the thing about it, we have a choice to either have to walk in life or to walk in death. And sometimes, God, because God has a promise for us and a plan for us, he'll permit us to make certain decisions. And although we have the choice to make a decision, it's up to us to make the right decision. So, but God, in his infinite wisdom, permitted Jacob to make this decision. And when he got to Laban, Laban was one who had caused him to work, 20 years to get it, so he was deceived by, he thought he was going to marry Rachel, but he ended up actually marrying Leah first. And later he had to work some more, and he received Rachel as his wife, the one he really did love. And it went through a series of events where he ended up, getting kids, children through Leah first, through the handmaids, and also through Rachel. But to make a long story short, this was a way that Jacob had become humble. God had permitted this situation, this whole process, to humble him. And at a certain time, it's like once he found out and he saw the heart of Laban, it was like he was fed up. And what God would do is sometimes in your life, he will permit you to be in certain situations until you see actually, like you said, you can't judge a tree except you look at the fruit. And sometimes God will permit you to be in situations such as this, you know, until you finally get fed up. And then what this is actually sometimes open up your ears to hearken unto God and to do what God has commanded you to do. But in this sense, in verse 3, it says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return into the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So there'll be a time when God will permit certain things to humble you, and then after that process has taken its course in your life, what God will do, God will begin to speak with you. And many of you out there in radio land, God has permitted you to go through certain things in your life. He's permitted you to make these decisions. Some of these decisions that you have made have caused you to be in a place that you thought that the grass was green on the other side, or you thought that this was the place where God actually wanted you to be. But what happens, he permitted you to make that to give you an understanding, to humble you so you can see clearly, and then also to change the condition of your heart. And so when you see that, what you should do is just as Jacob did. Jacob, he began to make his preparation to leave. And some of you, even out there in situations, relationships, you know, whether it be jobs, relationships, or whatever the case may be, that you need to begin to hearken to what the Lord is actually saying to you. You need to become more attentive to the voice of the Lord and yield to what he's saying and just obey. Don't question it. Just begin to obey what God is saying. And when you do that, you'll begin to see what God was really trying to tell you. Because in this, then in verse 17, it talks about how Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. He prepared to move. So also, in hearing God's voice and telling his staff, it's now time for you to depart from where you are and to return to certain places. Some of you may have departed out of marriages. Some of you may have departed out from family members or church homes or things of those nature. But you need to begin to be attentive to the voice of the Lord and to return to the place where God is commanding you to return to. So if you haven't made preparation, I would implore you or encourage you to do so today, because if you know that the voice of the Lord is summoning you, he's calling you back into a place, and summoning you is back into a place of right relationship with him, where the enemy has deceived you and tricked you and got you out of position for the blessing, got you out of position in your walk with God, where you're no longer in the will of God, but you're now out of that hedge of protection. But God is merciful, and God is also infinite in wisdom. God knows exactly what it would take to get you to allow you to see something, so you can know that that's the very thing that he wanted you to relinquish to him, to offer to him, because that very thing can even cause you to lose your soul in the long run if you're not wise and if you're not yielded to what God is saying. So I just want you, the listeners out there, the radio today, to take heed. And also, as Jacob did, after the Lord had spoke to him, he began to make preparation to do what God had told him to do, to return into the homeland, into what God was telling him, which is where his family was. And for some of you, it's the family of God. For some of you, it's the will of God. But many of you, it's to return back into a church home, or it's to return back into that rightful relationship with him. So I just want to encourage the listeners today is to please to be obedient, be attentive to what the voice of the Lord is saying today through this broadcast, and just allow the Lord God to speak to your heart. Don't harden your heart. You know, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. But what you should do today is obey. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCord.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hooper, for sharing with us about the man Jacob. I believe today that even as God wanted to change the heart of Jacob, no, make no mistake about it, that he loved him like he loved us. But there is a time in our lives, it doesn't matter who we may be, that God wants to change the heart of his people. God wants our heart to line up with him. We cannot serve God. We cannot do fully and be in that place that God will have us to be when our heart is not right with him. We should pray that God would give us a clean heart and that right spirit. Jacob wanted something, and the word let us know that he was a trickster, he was deceptive, and not only was he deceptive and a trickster, yet God had to deal with him. God had to show him the right way. If we want to be elevated, if we want God to use us in this life, If we want the things of God, we cannot get it by the spirit of deception. So God had to deal with this young man, and he had to let him know that this was not the way that he wanted his life to take to go. He didn't want his life to be in a way of deceptiveness to himself or to those that are around about him. And we must not look to what man can do for us. We cannot look for what life or what the job, a position can do with us, our station in life. What we must look to God, because God's word says that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. This young man, he and his mother, when we read the word of God, how they had the spirit of deception when they deceived his father. And it's so many things that we can say, and I just believe so many things that our panel is going to bring out today to get us in that right frame of mind, to let us know that all unrighteousness is sin. Even the no matter what reason why we are doing certain things, it doesn't matter if it does not line up with the word of God. And so there, we just want to thank Pastor Hooper for sharing with us about the homeward bound at God's command. And at this time, we're getting ready to welcome to the breakthrough broadcast Pastor Cynthia Fulton. And she's going to come and she's going to bless us, and she's going to be talking about the homeward bound as well at God's command. Welcome, Pastor Fulton, to Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. To all our radio audience, to the panelists, I thank God for this day. Thank God for the opportunity to be here today. I'll also be speaking about Homeward Bound at God's command. And I'll also use the same verses in Genesis 31, first chapter, the 3rd through the 7th verse, and then the 17th through the 21st verse. And I'd like to read that also. It says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me." In that 17th verse it says, "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unaware, and Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, and set his face toward Mount Gilead." In this passage of scripture here, talking about a man that had left his homeland in a way that was not appropriate or proper, but God still went with him. he had done things that was not right. But as I was reading, studying for this lesson, as Jacob began to tell his mother about if it was found out that he was the one that was deceiving his father, that it would be a sin or a curse on him. But she said, "Let it be on me." And so she took on the wrong that he actually done, in the sense of when the hardship came, when Esau realized that his brother had tricked the father, who was blind, and had taken the birthright. He had the birthright. It could not be taken from you. Once God has given you something, or you are ordained to something, then can't nobody take it if God don't take it. Matters not how it seems, matters not how it goes along the way. You can't do nothing about it. So the Lord went with him, but in him going with Jacob, he also let him learn a lesson that needed to be learned. I have learned in pastoring, if we ever gonna get anywhere, that we need to be honest and we need to be fair. If it seem as though there's no rain coming on my side of the yard, just let me wait, because one day it's going to rain and it's going to prosper. But when I go to steal from somebody else, then there is going to be some repercussions. And there were repercussions here in this land where he went in Mesopotamia with his uncle. And being there, he wanted, just like I would suppose any young man would want a wife, and he seen his wife from the beginning, but because he needed to learn and had to learn a lesson in order for God to really bless him like never before, he had to learn the way. Because, you know, in order for us to walk in to the blessing that God has for us, if God has it, then you have to walk in it right, because he's a right now. He's a God that do things right, justly, and in order. So he had to go through this procedure here where he married Leah first. He wasn't intending to marry Leah at all, but that was the way he had to go to get to Rachel. He worked 7 years, and then think he's getting Rachel, and he ends up with Leah. And because he loved Rachel so much, he was willing to work 7 more years for Rachel. And we see that his uncle was a man that was also a trickster. He had tricking in his mind, and his sons was right along with him in doing so. But even in God allowing Jacob to go through these procedures of working 20 years and not getting anything, then God still blessed him, gave him a different heart. When he humbled him, he put a different heart in him. He put a different way of thinking in him. And the Bible says here, it says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." It's a mighty powerful statement. I will be with thee. If God is with you, who can be against you? So the command of God, he didn't just move himself. But when God allowed him, that it's the time it come, God commanded him, now go back. See, because he couldn't just go back by himself, because there had been trouble where he come from with his brother. But when God said, go back, I don't care how dark the night, I don't care how much fire we have, you can go back. You can walk through, because God has said, do so. And the next thing that he done, he honored to begin to let his wives know that he was getting ready to go back. He let them know that their father continent wasn't the same with them anymore. In other words, I'm a little bit upset with you, Jacob, because matters not how I try to take my cattle. I tell you I'm going to give you something, but then I pull out all the best of everything. And then every time I do, when I look around, Jacob, you still got me beat. When we are beating and winning sometimes people tend to get angry. So this is what happened here. It says that in that seventh verse, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Why? Because God was with him. He done something wrong, but yet and still God was with him. God was going to bring him out. He allowed him to go there to Mesopotamia, come out of the land of Canaan. But now it's time to go back, because I have a work for you. Not only do I have a work, you have your children has a great work in helping that all the nations of the world is going to be blessed through these children that Jacob had. So in that 17th verse, it says, then Jacob rose up and set his sons and wives upon the camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, far to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. He was going back home. He came out with nothing, but look how he was going back. He was going back with plenty, manservant, maidservant. He had everything, because God had blessed him even in the midst of trickery. God had still blessed him. Say in the 19th verse, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the image that were her father's. Rachel stole the image because she knew that that was a household god. She knew that that god was to say, well, this is where my father's power is. This make him the ruler. Well, I'm going to take it, because our father has been even evil toward us, in the sense that they didn't get wages. If my husband don't get it, then I don't have it either. And it says that, and Jacob stole away unaware to Laban. While Laban was away at a sheep festival, then they stole away, and he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead. We are never ready until we can obey the command of God. Whatever God tells us to do, and he always has his stamp of approval on it, when he tells you to do something, if the Lord tells you to do something, you'll be able to know it by the way that he makes for you to be able to be blessed. So Jacob was blessed, his wives was blessed, the children was blessed, and also him going out when God said go out, that was the time. See, if we move before time, we hang around after the time, we tend to lose something. But when we move, when God say move, that's where you get your blessing. That's where you're going to get your overflow, is when we do what the Lord say do, when he say do it, because he knows only the way through the wilderness. You all pray for me.
Thank you, Pastor Fulton, Pastor Cynthia Fulton, for sharing with us today, as she and Pastor Cooper talk to us and explain and gave us insight on the homeward bound of Jacob and all that he had, when God commanded them to return home, return on the home that you have left. And the Lord let him know that he was going to be with him. And God let us know that he will be with us. And then God was with him, no matter what he had done. God, he was there. When he was there with Laban, when he was there with his father-in-law, there was much that he would he gained some wisdom, some knowledge, some understanding. He learned how to be a man of integrity. He knew how to, I believed, to be able to follow that golden rule when it says, do unto others as we have them to do unto you. I believe that he was able to mature in his walk with Christ, because the same thing that some of the same things that he had happened to him in his life, it happened with his wife's husband. So we just thank God that God can always show us a way that we can repent, or show us a way that we don't have to walk in those same ways, that we don't have to walk in unrighteousness, we don't have to use trickery or deception to get what we want in life. What God has for you, it is for you. So at this time, we just thank God again for the pastors, Pastor Cooper and Pastor Fulton, for blessing us, and we're getting ready to go to our second subtopic with our panelists, and we're talking about humble by fear and distress. I mean, we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves before the Most High God, and we at this time will take the opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Watson to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Miss Watson.
I'm going to be coming from called Humble by Fear and Distress, and that's going to be coming from Genesis, 32nd chapter, the 1st through 12th verse. And it says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And then Jacob saw them. He said, this is God's host. And he called the name of this place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir and the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto the Lord, my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob says thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen, asses, flocks, and men servants, and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, unto two bands, and said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and the Lord which saith unto me, return thou unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. I will deal with thee well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of thy brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And here we see that Jacob is on his way home, but he sends his servants out before him to tell Esau that he's coming home. He really wants to make amends for what he did. But we see in the verses that when his servants return to him and say, he is coming to meet you. We talk to him, he is coming to meet you, but he has 400 men with him. So immediately Jacob thinks he's going to repay him after 20 whole years of being away in a foreign land. He's still thinking his brother is going to smite him. He's going to kill him, and everything, and every woman, every child, everything that he has with it, everything living that he has with him, he's going to kill. He doesn't know
that God still has a plan. After 20 years, God still had a plan. Even though he and his mother, Rebecca, veered off and did what they wanted to do, they still didn't deter the plan of God. They might have held it up, just like we can do sometimes. We might go a different way and hold up our blessing and hold up things that God has for us because we put our hand on it and we turned left when he might have said turn right. He still has a plan for our life. Sometimes we veer off and we don't get it right there because we do the things that we want to do. And that's what Jacob, and that's what he and his mother did. So after 20 years, he is trying to make amends. Even though we see that God told him to return to his homeland, return to his kindred, and he will be with him, he still is afraid and he's distressed because he know how he came about what he got. He stole from him twice. He stole his birthright. Then he stole his blessing. And Esau was wroth with him, and he said that he was going to kill him. And he remembered that. And that's why his mother. That's why he was in a foreign land in the first place, because he had to flee because his brother was angry, and he did not want him to kill him. But after 20 years, God still had a plan. God still had that family in his hand. And we can see here in the verses, it looks like to me, restoration of a family, restoration of the wealth, and restoration of everything that the devil got busy with because it was just him and his mother. That was the devil. They just got busy, and they got in God's way and got in God's plan, and they did what they wanted to do. But after 20 years, he was going back to his homeland, even though God said that he was going to be with him and he was going to make it all right. He was still distressed, and he was still fearing his brother because he knew what he had done. He knew what he had done, even laboring with Laban all those years, over 20 years. But the Bible says that Laban was even more worse than Jacob was. He was even more of a trickster than Jacob was. That means he treated him badly. He lied. He deceived him. He did everything to him that he had done to his brother. And finally, God told him to go back home to his kindred. But we see here he is distressed. He's afraid because there are 400 men. His brother Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men, and he just knows that he's going to kill them all. So he divides his flock. He divides his goods into two camps. So he said if he kills one, then the other one can flee. But what he doesn't know that God had a plan on up the road for him. His brother, he didn't know what God had, but he had to rely on God's plan. He had to rely on God. So he got to pray and said, God, I know that you told me to go back home. I know that you said that it was going to be well with me. You told me that you were going to be with me. You sent him. He had to start relying on God. He had to pray. He had to stop relying on his own self. He had to consult God. He had to get by himself and consult God and say, now I know you told me to do this, even though he didn't do that 20 years earlier, but he was praying to God. He had to come to God now because he was in fear for his own life. He thought his brother was going to come and kill everything, his whole household. So he had to depend on God. He had to pray. He had to get with God, and he had to tell God, look, you said it was going to be okay. You said that you had me in your hand. You told me to do this. God still had a plan. So that tells me that Jacob relied on God at that point in that time. He had nobody else to turn to. He had to rely on God to get him to the next level, to go back home. God already told him it was okay. But he was still in distress because in his heart he knew he had deceived his brother. He had taken his blessing. He had taken his birthright. And we all know that we cannot build our happiness on other people's sadness. We cannot. A lie has no foundation, and it will never stand. I don't care if you tell it 20 years ago like he did, it still has no foundation, and there's going to be repercussions, and there's going to be consequences for what you do. And this is when he went to Laban and labored all those years, and Laban didn't give him anything. He lied about everything. He changed his wages 10 times. He was just deceitful. And I believe that Jacob reflected on it and like, this is what I did to my brother. So, of course, he was in distress because he know how he felt when Laban did him that way. So he know what he did to his brother, and he imagined how his brother felt when he stole his birthright and his blessing. But God always has a plan. And we look at the scriptures, well, he was on his way home, and he just wanted everything to be okay. But we know as we read on in the scriptures that he relied on God. He started dividing up his everything that he has wealth, and he started sending them to his brother. He did it three times. He had three droves delivered to his brother. He directed people what to do. And we see right here, that to me is restoration of everything he had stolen from Esau earlier. God was giving it back. giving it back, giving it back. He directed them what to do with the calves. I asked, take these to my brother. He directed them, you go first, and then you guys go after him. Three times he did this, to go out and meet his brother, just trying to make everything okay. He was restoring everything that he had really actually stolen. So he was doing that. God always has a plan. It may not look like it, but he always has a plan. 20 years later, God has a plan. He still had a plan. He still was wanting to restore this family and restore everything that he had stolen. God was making him give it back, give it back, give it back. He was making him give it over to his brother. He took it anyway. He took it 20 years ago. He did this three times. And as you can see, and when you read on to what he was sending his brother, the gifts that he was sending his brother, all the cattle, everything that he was sending his brother, this was a lot of wealth. And God will make us, he has to humble us sometimes and let us know he is in control of everything. You're not in control of anything. You might have the reins a little bit, but he has the final say-so. He is the ultimate in every situation. He reigns, rules, rests, and abides in everything that we do, and there is nothing that we can do about it. Sometimes we do things and we think God is not looking, but he is. He sees everything. He hears everything. He's all-knowing. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So whatever we do, there are consequences, and this is what Jacob is looking at. But he's afraid. He's in distress. Even though God told him it was going to be okay, he is still in distress. But we see right here where he is making amends. God is bringing about a healing in the family. He's bringing about a healing in the family. He had changed Jacob's heart. So he was going to tell his brother, look, I love you. I'm sorry. That's what he was trying to say. I'm sorry. I love you. I want to come home. This is what I want to do. Please accept me. God always has a plan. God has a sweet way of doing everything. He will bring you to your knees. He will. You just have to follow his plan. Sometimes we have to be still and stop putting our hands on things that God would not have us to touch. We are not supposed to touch them. He has a plan for us. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes we try to help him. He doesn't need our help with anything, with nothing. All we have to do is trust him. And here we see Jacob right now has to trust God, because he surely thinks that he's going to lose his life. That his brother, he said he's coming with 400 men. And if I heard somebody say, okay, yeah, your brother's coming, but he's bringing 400 men with him, I'm thinking he's coming to kill all of us. Everything that's breathing, he is going to kill. And this is what Jacob is. So right now, God has humbled him. He has to get down. He has to pray. And he has to do, he just starts doing things. He has to start putting things in motion. I got to get to my brother. I got to make this right. And that's what he was doing. But in the process, God was restoring family. He was restoring wealth. Jacob just had to depend on God, and he got to that point where he had to pray. It was not his will. It was whatever God said, and he knew that. Going in, he was still afraid, even though God told him, it's going to be okay. I sent you back that way. But he was still distressed. But God had it in his hand, and at this point, Jacob knows that, but I see restoration in the family. I see restoration of wealth. I see things that were stolen, they're being reversed. So back to you, Dr. McCoy. This is what I gathered from this. So back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Ms. Helen Watson, for blessing us. I just thank God, you know, even I was listening to her, you know, so many things that she was saying, so many things that the Lord was sharing, you know, about restoring, God restoring. He restored that was taken, and I thank God that Jacob tried to restore that he had taken from Esau. And she was saying something that we need to rely on God. We not to do it ourselves. It's to be so confident in ourselves, but we should rely and trust in God. She was talking about being humble, and she was telling us about prayer. We ought to always pray. Man shall always pray. And we need to pray and seek the face of God. So I thank God, and I'm quite sure our radio audience have enjoyed Praise God so far as we're talking about Praise God, being humbled by fear and by being humbled by distress. At this time, we're getting ready to hear one of our other panelists, which is Pastor Andre Spencer. He is coming to bless us and to give us what God has for us today. He's going to be talking about Jacob's hair. to meet Esau. Welcome, Pastor Spencer.
I give glory to God first and foremost, and I thank you, Dr. McCoy, for the invitation, and I just bless all my brothers and sisters that's on the panel, and I just ask God to touch each and every heart, that their hearts be open to receive the word of God as God brings forth truth. I'm going to be reading from the same book of Genesis, chapter 32, but I'll be reading verses 13 to 23. And it says here, "And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their coats, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and place a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asked thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then shalt thou say, They be thy servant Jacob. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the servant and the third and all the following and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And he said, Ye moreover behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the presents that go up before me, and afterward I will cause his face peradventure he will accept of me. So went the presents over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And when he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok, he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What the Lord is blessing me with here is about Jacob and how Jacob was trying to prepare for facing his brother. Jacob's name, first and foremost, means supplant, and that word means to trip up, cause to stumble. He knew that he had caused, hallelujah, a situation in his brother's life that was not favorable for his brother. So he was trying to, you know, make reconciliations to reconcile the situation. But in his heart, just like Sister said before, that he was afraid. He was still fearful, so he went to God, and he reminded God of his promise, and his name also means that, you know, may God protect. So he went to his protection, hallelujah, so that he could do things the right way. He knew he was wrong, but he still wanted to do something that was going to put this behind him. He was trying to prepare his heart to do what was right. So he went to send his servants with all the gifts that they had, so that when his brother would face them, then he had something that he could look upon, hoping that he would start easing the tension in his brother's heart or the anger in his brother's heart against him. You know, we know that from our lives, I'll speak for myself, I know that from my life, that in the past that I've done something to cause somebody else to stumble. I, you know, misled them and had them doing something that they didn't have no business doing, and they got hurt, they lost something in the process. So I would go and try to make amends to them by, you know, saying kind words or seeing if I can do something nice for them. But this is what Jacob was doing. He was trying to do something that was going to cause his brother's heart to be at peace toward him. So he sent all these precious gifts. And the thing that gets me here is that he had a strategy. Because that night, he stayed and he slept over. And during that night, you know what I mean, it was saying that he was like meditating upon the situation. He was preparing for the day to come. And so he sought the Lord about, you know, advice on what to do. Because it states there, it says that he just waited and he stayed there until that night. And then he sent his servants with this and with that. So he had a plan. He had a strategy. So when we do something to cause somebody else's hurt or harm, we need a strategy. We can't just go to them in our flesh. We need to be going to God. And that's what Jacob did. Jacob went and he saw God, and he reminded God of his promise that you was going to protect me, and his heart was filled with good things to do. So by doing these good things, he knew, he was believing that his brother would receive him. And then the text goes and it speaks about how he set them apart in droves, just like Sister was saying, and setting space between them. In setting that space between him, he was giving himself more time to build up the courage to face his brother. So if his brother came to one place, then he was still behind them. And sometimes it takes that. We have to get built up. After we know we've done something, especially something as crucial as this here that was done, it's just like the pastor said beforehand, this was already said for him. It was no need for him to deceive, but out of his following his mother's instructions, and he did that, so now he wanted to make a strong amends. He wanted to do something that was going to put the past behind and hopefully bless them to have a good time at that point and even into the future. And he knew it was going to take something more than him just saying, I'm sorry. So he wanted to make sure he did something that would be pleasing to his brother. But first and foremost, he had to humble himself before God. He had to have God reassure him and just to hold him up and to touch his heart so he can do what was right. We all need to be encouraged in doing what is right. And he got that encouragement by obeying God's command and being able to have the things to restore to his brother. Even though his brother was a man who was in need of anything, it was just a symbolic act of giving. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make sure that he was giving because he knew he couldn't undo what was done. But he knew that he could make amends if his brother would accept it. And his name also means to uproot. He uprooted his brother from his heritage. So we got to understand that God is sending a message to us that we cannot be taking things of our own fleshly will. We can't be going to people and what is rightfully theirs, and God has said that we're supposed to have something. Then, like they were saying beforehand, we got to wait for God to bring that thing to us. Because the only thing we're doing is we're getting something in our heart that now God's going to have to uproot out of us. Because deception and lying, it gets into the heart, and once you do it, it continues on. It's like a snowball that just goes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it takes more, hallelujah, to humble ourselves so God can uproot that thing. But Jacob, he was focused. He wasn't going to turn back. He knew God had commanded him to do something. He had things that he could offer. Well, we can offer. We may not have money or possessions to offer somebody that we've done wrong, but we've got the love of God. If we've got the love of God, we can offer that love to somebody who we have caused to stumble, somebody we've caused to trip up in life. We can offer them words of kindness. We can offer them times of comfort. We can offer them something that will help ease the pain that we've caused them in their lives with sincerity so that we can be forgiven. And so that's what Jacob was looking to do. He was looking to be forgiven so that he can go ahead on and do whatever it is God was telling him to do. So I just, you know, encourage everybody that is listening to ask God what it is, hallelujah, that you have done to cause somebody to trip, or you've taken something that didn't belong to you and you benefited by it, and now you know the price that you've paid and you want to set things right. Look at it from a spiritual viewpoint. God, what is it that I can do because I don't have money? Or I can show love. I can be honest. I can try to help them, assist them in any way that they need assisting today. And this is what Jacob was doing. He was trying to give what he had. So that's what God is blessing us to know. We got to give what we have, hallelujah, to make amends for wrongful situations. So I just thank God for everything that's already been spoken. It's been covered so well. And I just pray that this part here will help somebody to realize that we can't undo what has been done. But what we can do is make amends. By giving the best that we have, by the love of God, by the inspiration of God, hallelujah, to put somebody else at pain at ease so that we can, hallelujah, put the past behind us and we can have a pleasant present with them today, and hopefully we'll have a more prosperous future as well with them. So I thank God for this time, and I just hope that you've been blessed. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor Andre Spencer, for certainly blessing us. I thank God for what God has shown us and what God has given us through the Word of God. Truly, our heart has been blessed. Truly, our heart, praise God, has been lifted up toward God, and our heart has been humbled because of the fact that
God has given us more tools, got more strategy, more his word, so that we can humble ourselves, and that we, as even as we read the word of God, for the word of God says to study, to show ourselves approval to God, a word of God, need not be ashamed to write it and find the word of truth. And I heard truth coming from the men and the women of God. God truth, not our truth, but God truth that came from them. Again, thank you, Pastor Spencer. We'd like at this time to go, and I'd like to ask Pastor Eric Hooper. Pastor Hooper, in your lifetime, could you share with us when you had to rely upon God?
Oh, amen. There's so many ways, so many accounts. Basically, for me, I would give you one that's kind of like the somewhat current and present. I would share like a time of transitioning, when you know that when one season is ending or one time of being in one place is ending, and it's time for you, and you know that the brook is drying up or you're no longer being fed. When I say fed, I simply mean that your resources, it could be a job, it could be, you know, just a place, even spiritually, a place in your spirit where God wants you to move on from. What I do is I notice when those things begin to drop, I know God is dealing with me about preparing to move, just like he did with, you know, with Jacob in the story, how, you know, he said that it was time for him to go back and return into his kindred, to his family, and the land where he come out of. And then, like, when God gave that command, he prepared. And so when I sense things are beginning to drop around me, I pretty much know that that's an indication that God is about to begin to transition me, or to begin for me to move again. And so that's one major way that's really been a blessing to me. And sometimes even I want also the panel know, and those who are at the radio land, that even when sometimes those things happen and God is beginning to transition you, or he's dealing with you about moving or things of that nature, it may not appear right to everybody around you, but as long as you know how God talks to you, how he speaks to you, and how he deals with your leisure and guides you, then you just stay focused on how God is dealing with you and how God is leading you. That's the most important thing, because once we become born again, Christ is our Lord and he is our Savior. And the relationship becomes personal. So the way that God speaks to you, he speaks to you by his spirit, but he also is through his word. But there's a language that you and God have established through relationship. So the thing about it, don't try to get everybody to co-sign on how God is leading. You just ask God for his confirmations. And as God confirms his direction, you walk in the light therein. Amen? And that's one of the many ways. That's one example. When things begin to dry up around me in the environment or the spiritual atmosphere that I'm in, or even on the job, then soon after that, he'll begin to visit through a dream or a vision. He'll begin to give me direction. So that's one account that I can truly say it's really been a blessing to me, Dr. McCoy. Back to you.
Thank you, Pastor Hooper. Ms. Helen Watson, could you share with us, and could you tell us how God, in what way does God guide us in knowing his will? What way does God guide us to knowing his will? We need to be guided. But what way could you tell us that God would guide us to know his perfect will in our lives? Ms. Watson.
Yes, Dr. McCoy. God guides us in lots of ways. He gives us prophecy. He gives us prophets. He sends his angels to minister to us sometimes. But if you have that relationship with God, that you know his voice, you hear his voice, you commune with him, God will give you clear directions. He gives us the Bible. He gives us clear directions on what path to take, where to go. He guides us that way. But it's like earlier, hearing Pastor Hooper say, you don't have to have people to co-sign on everything that, you know, God is telling you. If you have that relationship with God and he speaks to you and you hear him clear and precise, he gives us a roadmap. He tells us what to do. Now, it is up there, he gives us free will. His mother said he gives us free will, and we do have free will. Sometimes we veer off. When he said go straight, we're turning left and we're turning right. But if you have a relationship with him, you won't miss him. You won't miss him. You'll always be where you're supposed to be. You'll always be at the level you're supposed to be. You have to follow his plan. You have to follow his lead. And that relationship with God, that praying, that communion with him, that fasting, the praying and consecrating yourself to hear him precisely, to do what it is God would have you to do. That's how he leads and guides us. That's how we get from level to level. That's how we get our blessings from God. Because when we're not listening and we're not, our hearts and our ears are not open to receive what he is telling us, we always get off track. It is always not going to be, it's not going to go as planned, because that's not his plan. That is our will. It's not his plan. We're doing what we want to do. So if you are open to everything that he is telling you and you have that relationship with God, God will send what you need. He will tell you exactly what to do. And like I said, sometimes he sends prophets, he sends prophets. He has people that speak into your lives. Now, because, again, of that relationship with God, when people speak into your lives, you know it's God. And you don't have to guess about it. You know that it's God, and you know that God sent them. That's where our relationship comes in. We have to have a relationship with God in order to please him. I believe we have to have that relationship with him, because sometimes, you know, we think we're doing things that we're pleasing him, and we're not sometimes. So we have to pray. We have to get with him, one-on-one with him. And we don't need everybody to speak into our life, and we don't need to run to this person, run to that person. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? We don't need to do that. When God is sitting on his throne always, he's everlasting. He's been there forever. So why not just go to him and see what it is that he wants us to do? Everybody is not to speak into your life. You don't have to go around asking people. All you have to do is ask God. When people say things to me like, you know, well, somebody told me this. Well, you don't have to really ask somebody. Ask God. He knows me best. And if you have a relationship with him, if you hear him, he'll tell you exactly what you want to know about me. So you don't have to ask everybody, but if we listen to God, if our ears are open, if our heart is open, he speaks in so many different ways. All we have to do is be able to hear. And like I said, when people speak into your life, you know it's God, because you have that relationship with him, and you know that you know exactly what they're talking about. And it's really just confirmation. So we have to have a relationship with God, pray, fast, commune with him, get a personal relationship with him, and you will always be on task of what God will have you to do. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson, for sharing with us. We're getting ready to go into our last phase of Breakthrough Broadcast, last topic, but great topic, confronted and exalted by God. That topic, again, is confronted and exalted by God. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast Dr. Harinda Dixon, and she is going to be coming from Genesis, the 32nd chapter, the 24th through that 32nd verse. Again, Dr. Dixon, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Hello, Dr. McCoy, and certainly this is an awesome a privilege to be on the broadcast today, and thank you very much for the invitation. And certainly I just want to applaud the panelists. There were many wonderful things said and definitely meat that was given out, and I'm sure that anyone that's listening out there in the radio listening audience or via internet, that you have certainly been blessed by this broadcast. But even as I would go into this last subtopic we were speaking of, confronted and exalted of God, I was looking up the word confronted, and confronted or confront means to come face to face with something. And we find that as we explored the life of Jacob, he had to come face to face with some issues and things that were in his life. And exalted, raised, and elevated, or raised or elevated. So we speak a word to the listening audience that if you're going to be exalted, then that there are some things in your life that's going to be confronted, and you must come face to face with it. And as we explore the scriptures in Genesis 32:24 through 32, and starting out with verse 24. And if you will allow me to, I'm just going to kind of go through different verses and pull out some of the things that God is showing me in this hour. But in verse 24, it said, "And Jacob was left alone." The one thing you want to keep in mind that if you're going to go through a confrontation and you're going to come face to face with something, then God will often deal with you alone, intimately, in your prayer closet or in your time of meditation. He will begin to deal with you alone. So you got to spend that quiet time that God may show you those things in your life that need to be removed or confronted prior to exaltation. And it say, "And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." Note, the breaking of day. Basically means that you may have to spend some time in prayer and seeking meditation time. Maybe spend days in seeking God to understand what the will of God is for your life. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. Note the word as he wrestled with those things that need to be confronted, as he wrestled with the will of God for his life, as he wrestled with dealing with issues and situations of the past, then his thigh was out of joint. I'm here to tell you that there are some times that when you have been confronted with some things may be not out of joint or out of the way. There may be some hurt, some pain there. As we go to verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And verse 27, and he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Verse 28, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." If we could pause right there, "Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, supplanter, trickster, and other definitions. But I'm going to change your name, and it shall be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." But I like the way the NIV version says this particular verse. And it said, "Then the man said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." I'm here to tell you today, if you're listening, that there, when you're going through a confrontation, when you're going through getting rid of some old, dead, past things, when you're going through some things you need to drop off before you go to the next level, then you're often going to find yourself having to have struggled with human beings and with God and have overcome. As we walk this day-to-day walk every day of our lives, we're living on planet Earth, which means that we have to interact with other human beings. We have to interact with other people. We have to interact with family members, as Jacob had to interact with his brother. And sometimes there's friction in that interaction. But if you can get it right and overcome, see, sometimes there's things and situations that happen that it just happened, or you may have manipulated the situation, and some things went south when you better off with had you left it alone. As in Jacob's case, the promise was already his, but he got caught up in the mix. And we live in the year 2012, as I often say, and often or not, you find yourself caught up in the mix. But you have to deal with human beings and God, and as we know the scripture, and sometimes if we apply the scripture to life, we find that people try to interact with God and not deal with human beings. Try to interact with God and say, "Well, they know I didn't really mean it that way." Try to interact with God and not dealing with the fault or the offense or the dirty down out shame that was done to another human being. But Jacob's name was changed after he struggled with God and humans and overcame. So you have to clean up everything. You can't just go into God and not deal with it. As we heard in the previous times, that the ones that talked earlier, they say that that Jacob had gotten a gift, several gifts. I'm sure it was thousands of dollars, if not millions worth of stuff, and he wanted to present that to Esau as a love offering, as something to say, well, you know, please forgive me in there. And then as we go into verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And I want you to catch this. And he said, wherefore is thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. The NIV puts it this way. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But simply put, it says, but he replied, why do you ask my name? In other words, this angel of God wanted Jacob to say, Jacob, don't put the focus on me. Now we're dealing with you. I wanted to know your name. Your name has been changed, and you're focused in on what's happening with you. Focus in on the blessings. Focus in on the reconciliation that you're receiving. Focus in on what's happening to you. Focus in that you're going to birth nations out of you, out of your lungs. Focus in on your name. Not on my name. And there are times that when God is confronting us and exalting us and dealing with us, we somehow get the focus off of what he is doing or trying to achieve in our lives. And we begin to look around and say, no, he blessed him right there. Uh-huh. Why are you asking my name? And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And the sun rose above him, and he passed him, and he was limping because of his hip. Sometimes that face-to-face encounter may leave you with a slight limp. As the other panelists so beautifully stated, when you wrong somebody, when you do things that is not the way God would have you to do it, sometimes you suffer loss. Sometimes there's something there for the rest of your life that reminds you of the amazing grace of God. But it also is a tool to remind you, don't do things like that. So there are times where we find that Jacob, he continued in his life, and he continued in the grace of God. And the limp reminded Jacob of the goodness and the grace of God. I want those that are listening to always remember that when you make a mistake, when you do something that's wrong, when you come to a pivotal point in your life, that it is no longer, you can't drag it any further. You can't take it any further. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with what it is. Take that time out and wrestle with God. Don't stop until you are blessed, and don't denounce your limp, but use it as a wonderful testimony of the goodness of the Lord, and use it as a powerful tool that you know that God encountered you and brought you from the valley up to the mountaintop. May God bless you and continue to enrich you spiritually. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Arinda Dixon, for sharing and blessing with us. Confronted and exalted by God, certainly we have been so blessed by what God has given to this woman of God. At this time, we're getting ready to go to our last panelist, last but not least, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer. And she's going to be speaking to us and blessing us with that same topic, confronted and exalted by God. Welcome to our breakthrough broadcast, Evangelist Spencer.
Praise the Lord, breakthrough broadcast, and praise the Lord to all of you that are listening. Dr. McCoy, again, thank you to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Glory be unto the Lord. I like to touch on a couple verses here that God has was showing me about was this confronted and being exalted by God. And here in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestling man with him until the break of day. And I look at that here being left alone. In other words, Jacob had made up his mind. In other words, I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of this thing hanging over my head. I know that I've done wrong, and I want to, amen, get back into the goodness of God, get back into that place where I know and I'm assured that God is with me. And that we know that God had spoken to Jacob before to what he had did and how he had settled things with his brother and stuff, that there would be peace. But here, right here, left alone, in other words, I'm coming in to be with the Lord. I'm not bringing nobody with me. I'm not bringing nobody else's mess. I'm coming me. I'm bringing me. I'm bringing me to your presence, oh God. I want you to deal with me. I want you to show me me. I want you to, in other words, deal with the things and that I have done. In other words, because God said in his word, he chastises those whom he loves. So in other words, we didn't hear when he got along with the Lord how he, in other words, was chastised by God. And in that wrestling, we know that, amen, we, per se, I look at it in the spiritual, the wrestling, and I look at it in sometimes how we can, in other words, ask questions to God and this and that. But the thing about it, that going to God to get the answers and the questions and whatever else, and to be in that place for God to minister, in other words, in order for you to come to the Lord, God is saying, I already know what you've done. I've already know what you're going to do. He said, but when you come to me, and he said, this is the time, in other words, to just be real. I ain't coming in here, Lord, to talk to you about what somebody has done. I'm coming in here to talk to you about me. I'm coming in here for you to deal with me. I want, in other words, be corrected so I can go on and do your will and not have this thing hanging over my head and not have to be sleeping with one eye open and knowing that I have done somebody wrong. In other words, I'm ready, God, to be real with you. I'm ready, in other words, to confess my wrong, to confess, hallelujah, where I have been out of line. And in there also, I would like to touch on when in verse 26, and he said, let me go, for day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except by blessing. And I look at the persistence of Jacob. How, in other words, things, day is getting ready to break, and things are getting ready to change. But no, I'm staying right here. I'm not going to let go until I feel, in other words, that there is a breakthrough. Until I feel that, in other words, I've been forgiven, that this thing has been lifted. This thing has been buried, and I don't have to, in other words, see it no more. In other words, this thing, as far as I'm going to be faithful, I'm not going to, in other words, go this way again. I'm not going to do this thing again. In other words, in that place, in other words, of repentance, I'm just going to stay right here until I know that I know that I know, amen, that this thing has been lifted, this thing has not been delivered of this thing. And also would like to touch on verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And I look at here when he the angel asked him what his name was, and he said what his name is, he was saying that, okay, now, you still there in that place. And he said, you have, in other words, humbled yourself enough to know that, okay, I'm still, you know, this flesh. I'm still here in the flesh. I'm still here in the presence of God. I'm still here. But in other words, I'm not going, in other words, exalt myself and say that, in other words, that I'm somebody else. And it was at that moment that in the next verse, in verse 20, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou
power with God and with men and has prevailed. In other words, the angel of the Lord, he saw, okay, I see, in other words, that you're not trying to exalt yourself. You're not trying to, in other words, lift yourself up or be puffed up. In other words, how sometimes we can go and get into the presence of God and God can do something and we can come out of that thing and we can begin to puff ourselves up and want to say something what we have done. And but here the angel of the Lord is saw, in other words, that Jacob had humbled himself, and he said that, in other words, because you did not exalt yourself, he said, here, God exalted you. And in exaltation, there are times that God will change a name. And then I look at the changing of a name. In other words, the changing of the personality, the changing of the person. In other words, from the old man, the old things are passed away. You are now a new creature in Christ. And I look at how, in other words, you're no longer, in other words, that person that used to, you know, roll your eyes or be haughty about with people or be backbiting or talking about or gossiping with people. In other words, now I've taken you and placed you into another place. I've seen the change and I see your heart. I see that, amen, that you are going to be faithful and you're going to be obedient to what I'm going to give you to do, and I can trust you and that you will get the job done. And here in verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that, then Jacob asked him what was his name. He said, wherefore I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Amen. In other words, Jacob was looking at, in other words, I want to know who, in other words, I have been, in other words, been in the presence of at that time and back then, what was going on. And there was just so much the angel was saying, it's not enough whether who I am, but in other words, God has exalted you, and amen, and grab a hold of to your name change. Grab a hold to the newness that God has done for you. And we, as the body of Christ, we need to grab a hold to the newness when we go into that place and we ask God to deal with and to take the old away. We need to grab a hold to the new and to walk in that new and to begin to, in other words, confess over ourselves the new, what God has spoken about us and who we are for him. And amen, in verse 30, Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, and I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And we know that Peniel means the face of God. And we know that, like I said earlier, you know, when you're saying, in other words, getting that place to be face to face with God, you're saying, in other words, God, I'm coming into your presence. I want to be real. I want to be real. I'm not here talking about my brother, my sister. I ain't here talking about my pastor. I ain't here talking about the first thing. I'm here. Deal with me. I'm being real with you, God, because you already know, amen, all about me. And verse 31, and as he passed over, Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. In other words, and when you come into the presence of God and you allow God to do what he needs to do for you to go forth and to do his will, there are some things that hallelujah will take place that to remind you. In other words, and I would think about how it was with Paul, in other words, where he said, in other words, that he had that thorn in his flesh, and in other words, God told him, Christ told you that his grace was sufficient, and how sometimes God will allow things to take place to keep us humble, and also to remind us, amen, that, you know what, you don't want to go back that route. You don't want to do that no more. Now walk on the straight and the narrow path that I have set you on and do, amen, what I have called you to do and be obedient. And the last part too, also where he continued on, and even until this day. In other words, it was in other words a how. In other words, a sign that how. In other words, to remember, to stay humble, to stay humble before the Lord, and let the Lord be the one that do the exalting. We are not to exalt ourselves. We are not to, in other words, puff ourselves up. But when we get into that place where we want to be real with God, come face to face. Now, it ain't about nobody else. It ain't about my neighbor. It ain't about my mom, my dad. God, it's me. I want, in other words, get into your place where I'm, you know, to do your will. Deal with me. That way that I may go forth, amen, and do your will. And I give God praise for this, because it's teaching us, amen, that how we need to be real with God. He already knows everything about us. And the only thing he's doing is just waiting for us to get into that place. Stop making excuses. If this person would have done that, I would have did this. No, get into that place. In other words, get into that place with face to face with God and be real. Be real with yourself. Be real with God and watch what God will do when we become real, when we get in that place where we want to be face to face with him. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Evangelist Spencer. We were so blessed by what God has given you for his people as we just talk about today, the blessings of God, how to be humble, how humble and exalted, how Jacob was humble and exalted, and how she talked about confronted and exalted by God. To God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to take this opportunity to thank the Lord for our panelists that was with us on today. We would like to thank God for Pastor Eric Cooper, Pastor Cynthia Fulton, Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Andre Spencer, Dr. Tyrinda Dixon, and Evangelist Geraldine Spencer. As we were able to go before the Most High God, and God began to, God used them in order to speak forth the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God through the revelation of God's word. At this time, radio audience, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And we know that there are many that are listening to this radio broadcast. Even as you have heard the word of God today, the Bible says, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If some of you, we know that there are many that are not saved, that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The word of God says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God says that we shall be saved. We realize that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it does not matter what you did on yesterday, what was done 3 years ago, 2 days ago, whatever the matter it was, whatever the sin it was, God wants you to ask him to forgive you, to forgive you, to ask him to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and to save you. Yes, you may have been a fornicator, a homemonger, backbiter, adulteress. Yes, you may have been a supplanter. Yes, you may have been a person that does not walk in the humbleness and the righteousness of God, but God is saying to you, I will cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and I will remember it no more. I'm not going to hold it against you, but I want
to forgive you. I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want you to be made free. For whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Why don't you just, even as I lead you into the sinner's prayer, why don't you just pray with us today and repeat this with me. Father, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me free. Lord, I am a sinner, but Lord, I want to be saved by your grace. Father, cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. I want to be that new creature. I want to live this life so that I can live again. If you pray this prayer with me and you have asked God earnestly to come into your heart, to forgive you for your sin, and to save you, I want you to know today that God heard your prayer. And I'm going to pray with you even now that you will be covered and that God will move in your life even the more. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify your name, we exalt you, we thank you, dear God, for all that you have done and all, God, you're going to do according to your word. Lord, even as your people prayed on today, Lord, those that was lost, those that did not know you, Lord God, those that need a relationship with you, God, those that needed to be, Father God, forgiven for their transgression and for their sin. And God, they ask you, God, to come into their heart. They ask you, God, to forgive them for their sins. Lord, I just want to thank you even now, Lord, for coming into their heart. Thank you for touching them. Thank you for opening up their hearts and their mind, God, to be able to say yes to your will and yes to your way. I ask you even now, Lord God, to cast every sin unto the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every life that has been changed and every soul that has been saved. Father, even as I pray, I ask you, Lord, even now, God, to look upon those that are in our radio audience that are going through trials and tribulations. Father, those, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that are having problems and that finance, those that are sick, those that have infirmities in their body, God, those that the enemy, those that the doctor, Lord God, have given a bad report. Father, I pray even now, God, that you would touch them. God, that you will cause your healing power, God, to be manifested in their body. Lord, you said, Father, in the name of Jesus, the asking it shall be given. You said to seek and you shall find, and the knock and the door shall be open. So, Lord, we pray even now, we send the word into the atmosphere. We send the word, God, in the name of Jesus, to those, God, that are sick. We send the word, God, to those, God, that the enemy, those, God, that the doctors have given a bad report. God, that say that they will not live, but God, that say that they will die. Father, I bind right now the mighty name of Jesus. I speak healing, and I send the word of healing, God, to that individual, Lord God, even now. God, those, Father God, in Jesus' name, that are suffering with oppression and depression. Father God, I speak, God, to touch their mind, their soul, their spirit. I speak peace right now. I speak joy into their spirit. Lord, I ask you, God, to do it even now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, even as I pray, I thank you, Lord God, for every listener that listening, God, whatever need, Father God, that they have today, Lord, touch them. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, even, Father God, in their finance, Lord, we ask you, God, even if they're faithful to you, Lord, I ask you, Father, even now, to open up the windows of heaven, pour them out blessing, that there'll be not room enough to receive. Lord, we ask you, God, to rebuke the devourer for their sake. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for the men and the women of God
that serve on this panelist today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. God bless them exceedingly and abundantly in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we thank you for tuning in this Saturday at 4 p.m. to the Breakthrough Broadcast. And we would like you to join us on next Saturday at the same time. Don't wait to just call a friend at the time that we're go on the air, but let them know how much you were blessed. Let them know what God is doing on the broadcast and how the Lord is destroying yokes and setting the captives free. Well, until next Saturday at 4 o'clock, let's continually to give God the praise. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless you.